I think if they win, I'm going to say four. If they win four games and they don't get de-pantsed in any games, right? They look it's just like pornography, right? You know it when you see it. There's a good parallel.
Yes, Purdue football is pornography.
Purdue football is like seeing people screwing. No, it's hard to look at, but sometimes you set aside time on a Saturday. Or a Friday night. If you're young, Friday nights.
The Boilermaker, you drop the whiskey into the beer, right?
You drop the whiskey into the beer and you regret and every decision. Beer, right? Just every decision that you've made until that point in your life. Every single time. Much like being a Boilermaker.
The internet's too quick, so I ask them to throttle it.
Yeah, exactly.
Throttle the knowledge back. I can't have too much going in here. It makes it hurt. Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. We're back after a mere 13 months away. It's like between episode or between seasons of The Sopranos. That's what we do now. Is we take off.
That was a very timely reference that you made.
Yeah, well, I thought I like
a lot of 20-year-olds understand that.
We have been a long time though since we did this. I mean, in the intervening time, Anish became a man. Mm-hmm. It's a big accomplishment. In fact, that was one of the requests on Twitter, was a recap of Anisha's wedding.
That's right. Michael got really drunk at the wedding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man, that was embarrassing. But it was funny.
Was really bad. Yeah. You didn't have to.
Michael,
Back to you, Michael.
We will allow for time for him to defend himself.
So yeah, we were asked for a recap. That was the first wedding Is my Dolan internet cutting out?
Yeah, your Dolan's cutting out. Yeah.
Thanks. Just like the Knicks, it's spotty at best. I said it's the first wedding I've been to where the Purdue fight song was played.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I didn't grow up in Indiana, of course, so I didn't have many Purdue fights.
Really? It's the first one?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't invited to yours.
That's true. That's true. I don't have anything else to say.
But the best part of that, that Anish, so it was the first wedding I've been to where they played the Purdue fight song, and then I said Anish goes a long way for a joke, and immediately followed by shout. So that caused some consternation among the
audience. I did it just for you.
That yeah, awesome. Well, that the reaction you got from Boiler down there was probably what you were looking for, because he was not very happy about it.
You guys were great.
All the old white people liked it though.
That's right.
Which we fall into that category now.
So. I did have to count in my wedding whether there were more light-skinned or dark-skinned Purdue alumni. Because my family is a Purdue family. We had a ton of Purdue.
Where'd you come with? Was it the honkies or?
I think the whites won, as they usually do.
They win.
Like I said, he goes a long way for every joke. It's always building towards a punchline.
You see how he lured you in there?
You reeled us in. We were like, will Anish tell us more? Oh, he made fun of white people again, damn it.
Exactly. Again.
Again.
Why are we the butt of every joke?
I know. Stereotypes and jokes.
It's pretty great. No, it was great. It was fun. It was very fun. I am wearing the bathrobe emblazoned with a letter R for my last name, for our family name right now as we record.
For Brahm.
That's right, for the R. For Brahm.
For the R in Brahm. Well, the other thing, too, I think, what were we drinking? Was it Woodford?
Woodford. So I did. Yeah, I had Woodford and Makers.
We didn't drink Makers. I think... Ryan and I
drank Woodford the whole night. We were killing it.
I think we almost had a bottle of Woodford ourselves. I would
no bet. No bet.
No, we're taking that off the board. No. We're not taking that. Yeah.
We did end the night with Boilermakers. So you guys weren't there for that. But that was fun.
Probably good that we stopped.
Awesome. Yeah, it was good at least.
All of the young adult Boilermakers came and took you know, took nice Boilermaker drinks.
Nice. And, I don't think I've ever the Boilermaker. You drop the whiskey into the beer, right?
Isn't you drop you the whiskey into the beer, and you regret and every kill the decision, beer, right? Just every decision that you've made until that point in your life. Every single time, much like a, that, much like being a Boilermaker.
Now
like
pivoting to Purdue.
So is it like a I hate to sound like a moron, is it a full pint or is it like an Irish car bomb where it's a half pint?
Yeah, so you can vary it depending on your level of misery of the day. we did half pint. We basically did have just over half pints.
But the beer really doesn't do the damage, though. I would think it's the killer.
The bartender poured us far too much whiskey. So
Right.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Far too much whiskey.
That was a good night.
It was a good time. It was a good time.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little distracted because I've got Beam PJ Fleck on DVR right now.
I was going through my the
what a weirdo
just the cable listings, and I saw on Big Ten Network for 3 straight hours that it was a show called Being PJ Fleck, and I hit the right button just to keep going over and over, and it just kept going. It was incredible.
I honestly haven't watched a minute of it yet, but my older brother
says it's amazing.
Bill, he says it's ridiculously bad how crazy this guy is. He said it's
imagine the content we would have gotten had we. Yeah. See, the problem is that we don't really have that much to do because Brom, just like Hazel, is kind of boring in his press room competency. You know what I mean?
Let's have that be the last time you compare the two, though.
Yeah, don't ever do that.
But that's what I'm saying is that there's nothing to make fun of them for. Imagine if we would have gotten PJ in our lives. Imagine.
There was plenty to make fun of Daryl Hazel for eventually. But yes, out of the box, you're right. There was nothing at first, and we sung that as a because here's who was easy to make fun of 4 years before him. So
the content was so good.
Oh man, but you know what I will say, that the one thing was the content. I think we got to a snark level maximum by the end of football season last year, like between Twitter and our posts about football.
I mean, I did write an entire post game, like as a "Oh Captain, my Captain."
But that was great. We've lost the ship. It even had custom artwork.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think it was the Wisconsin game. What was it? I don't know. We went down like 40-0 in the first half.
Yes.
So I had the entire halftime and second half to.
No. Was it Maryland when they lost 50-7?
No, maybe.
It was Maryland.
Because that was the end.
Yeah. They had a running Maryland. Back who was my size who ran for like 490 yards in the half.
I was just doing some reading. Like all of the GBI stuff that they posted the last month, I was skimming over. And the scent, every time this clause comes up, it just blows my mind. Purdue has celebrated 9 victories in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Like that is still surreal. I lived through it, and it is
and
just
a couple
still
of them are, and a couple of them, I think only 6 are Division I, right?
6 are Division I. 2 of those Division I victories, courtesy of Illinois. Thank you.
The only 2 Big Ten victories that Daryl Hazel ever got. No, I'm sorry. No, he beat Nebraska. That's right.
That was that Nebraska win, which was the peak.
Which I still look back on, and I don't know how well you guys remember that fourth quarter, but Purdue tried to blow that game. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
They got back to 10 points, and Purdue was up a ton. That game was over at the end of the third quarter, and Purdue still almost lost. Yeah. Like that's to score 55.
It's funny, right, about winning. 2 Division I games a year on average, right? Is it changes your perspective and the way you do everything so much? I mean, think about how passionate we used to be, you know, on the site about football first. But outside of that, think about perspective. Like right now, I mean, there was another question on Twitter, which can lead us into that, is what's a good season, you know? And so I can start out right now. My prediction is still 3 wins.
But there's a way for that. But there's a way for that to feel successful, as your
yes,
point.
There is. Yeah. I hate to say that to the
no,
to the people.
No, because
I really do. I hate to think about.
No, but it's all about perspective right now. And Purdue is in. Think about how low things were last season. A low point that none of us have ever witnessed, and that's no exaggeration, right? No Purdue football fan has witnessed this, right? Is that safe to say? That the program being that low?
Yes, being that's just, statistically, this is the lowest point in Purdue football history.
I think a span of losing.
And I actually do think that last year, like not even including, so like the previous, like after the 2015 season, I think Dave on the site wrote like an expose, like a really deep statistical dive about how this 3-year stretch is the worst stretch of Purdue football. And that was not including last year's season.
Right. So like, well, my point is if it's the worst stretch that literally anyone living has seen Purdue football put out there and you put it against that backdrop, then it isn't that then there are ways to feel optimistic even in a 3-win season, because first of all, it's not an easy schedule. Mm-hmm. And second, don't you think, I mean, we addressed this, Hazel lost games in a non-competitive manner, right? We compared him at one point, I remember comparing him to Coletto, and early on in his tenure, he had lost more games by 40 points than Coletto did in his entire time at Purdue.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
That
like
was a, that was a pretty bad foreshadowing.
Right, like Coletto lost a lot, but he would lose, you know, 42, 35, and those sort your blowouts would be 42, 21. He wouldn't lose like, you know, 50-7 to a terrible team. Never got. If they played a bad team, they had a chance to win. That's fair, right? When Coletto was there, if they played a bad team, they might win. When Hazel played bad teams, he probably was going to lose.
Well, Coletto had a night game versus a MAC opponent my sophomore year. Is that your freshman year, Jay? Does that sound
right? Talked about this. That was my first year. That was my first Purdue football game when they beat the
crap out of them. Purdue killed them.
Like Ball State with all stuff. Oh gosh, yeah, you're right. Right, and Hazel got destroyed by MAC teams. Right, I mean,
well, so I think you in the last podcast, and maybe we should wrap up the Hazel talk. But in the last podcast, one of the previous podcasts, I think Jay Money, you made this point in 2014. There was that stretch, that 3-game stretch. It was Illinois, Michigan, number 8, Michigan State, and Minnesota. And then we played a couple ranked teams afterwards in Nebraska and Wisconsin. We beat Illinois. And then the Michigan State game was close for 3 quarters against a top 10 team where we had no business doing that. And at the time, we were like 3-4. And we were, you know, it wasn't like the depths, right? And we were going toe-to-toe against the number 8 team of the country. And then the next week, we lose to Minnesota 38-39. Do you remember that game? That was, I mean, came down to the wire. It was really close, like a couple shanked extra points. But that loss, and I think, Jay Money, you made this point, that loss was like never really recovered from. There was one point in 2015 against Michigan State where they were a top-5 team the next season, and we lost by a field goal. And that was pretty much the end. And so the rest, we just kind of collectively, we made excuses for Hazel for this not being the you know, least successful stretch of Purdue football that anybody has ever seen. And now we have a competent coach. So there's that. And real facility.
The hard thing though, right now, okay, we're on the eve of things potentially changing, right? It feels better. It feels different. But part of me hates to do this, but I'm like, we've talked positively before about other coaches, and we haven't seen anything yet, you know, that shows us what really is happening.
Well, so
practice reports aren't worth much, you know.
I'll push back against that, because a large part of why we felt so bad about Purdue football was that the infrastructure wasn't there. Even if you bring in Nick Saban, the foundation isn't there. So you're building this house of cards that at the smallest little bit of tremors is going to fall. But right now we've opened a massive, Purdue's opened a massive practice facility. It's brand new. They're getting on all of these networks, like hyping up their new facilities. Like,
yeah, but I mean, you've said this before. You said this before, and I just have a hard time with that, because that to me takes some of the responsibility off of Hazel. And hold on, real quick. Brandon Gorin and I talked about this. Purdue lineman played under Tiller, and he said we had shit. He didn't say that, but he said they had horrible facilities. They had to walk over to the Corec field. You know, I mean ridiculous things. It was like bad high school football. And what they do? They go win eight games, you know? So it feels to me like if we don't just say Daryl Hazel I know that part of that puts it on Morgan Burke, which isn't a bad thing, but because he made the hires. But yeah, I have a hard time with saying anything about the infrastructure being part of the reason Hazel couldn't, you know.
No,
he didn't understand.
But what you were saying was why we've gotten excited about decent coaches in the past. But the thing is, like, it takes an exceptional coach like Tiller with an exceptional system that was zigging while literally the rest of college football zagged to like overcome this kind of poor facilities. And even then, for the most part, it seemed like Joe Tiller was miserable, you know, like not coaching for Purdue, like, you know, for the Purdue seal, not coaching his players, but like just in the atmosphere of Purdue athletics, Joe Tiller always seemed a little bit restless. I mean, that's why other programs, mostly out of the Plains, were trying to recruit him away, trying to pay him a little more. You know, it was like the athletic department was pretty stingy. They wouldn't build, you know what I mean? Like, it takes an extraordinary coach to overcome that. And the reason to be excited now is because there are, at the very least, there are these facilities. And even if Brom doesn't work out, which I really do have a hard time imagining how it doesn't work out. Like, if Brom doesn't work out, I'm not sure who's going to work at Purdue. Like, there's a thought for you. But at the very least, there is this, like, Purdue is in the 21st century when it comes to football programs, you know?
It's a weird thing, though, right now. The arms race that Morgan Burke did not want to enter and did not want to be a part of, this initiative was his, this practice facility.
Yes,
and we said it before.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful facility. He pulled the trigger on it. He gave it the green light. It's amazing. The funny thing is they waited until they had to do it. Northwestern, IU had already installed amazing, you know, practice facilities.
By the way,
it was actually a little more impressive than IU's. But Northwestern's,
that's what I was about to say. Northwestern's is jaw-dropping.
Yeah, yeah. And it's on the water, which is really cool, too. But the whole point is he had to be in that arms race because they had to be in the conference because he refused to drop them down to 1AA, you know. So, but
well, because Tiller kind of lifted all boats, you know what I mean? Like, his winning. I mean, we took for granted 11 bowl games in 12 years or 13 years? Purdue took the Purdue fan base and the Purdue athletic director's like office took that for granted. And now when you have something like that going, you can gloss over some of the less glamorous parts, or you can kind of patch over some of the more foundational problems that you have with your department. When you have Danny Hope, you know, when you have Daryl Hazel, you can't do that.
So are we all in agreement? I hope not, but it sounds like we are. Are we all in agreement that 3 wins is a successful season? I have a hard time saying.
Well,
I really do.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't think you're going to do backflips over it, but I think I've said this before. I think there's it's all in how it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to win a bowl game. They're not going to go to a bowl game this year. I mean, I suppose the absolute overachieving upper echelon is 6 wins, right? That would be amazing if he did that. And then you'd be a believer that it's the next coming of Tiller. But short of that, I think if they win, I'm going to say 4. If they win 4 games and they don't get de-pantsed in any games, right? They look, it's just like pornography, right? You know it when you see it. That's a good, there's a good purpose.
Yes, Purdue football is pornography.
Purdue football is like seeing people screwing. No, it's hard to look at, but sometimes you set aside time on a Saturday. Or a Friday night, if you're young, Friday nights, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That was pretty good.
Like that? I just came out of nowhere.
That
I just
pretty good.
Didn't
that
go.
Was pretty good.
So, no, I think in all seriousness, you know it when you see it. So this Saturday, they have – I think if you're Brom, you must love this because you have an opportunity to capitalize on the little kernel of excitement that has started to form around Purdue football, right? You can say – you can go out there on a nationally televised game. I don't care if they lose to Louisville, but you both know what I'm talking about. There's a way that they could win that – or win in the minds of their fans – in how they play that game. I know, but there's a difference, right, between moral victories and basketball at Purdue anymore, right? We're tired of those.
Yes, yes.
Football, we need to start somewhere, right?
Yes, and I will gladly take a moral victory. We've only had nine real victories. Let's say
they score four or five touchdowns on Saturday and they lose.
Well, so that's what I was saying. I would consider a one-win season successful if Purdue scored 50 points a game. You know what I mean?
I think I'd be pretty upset if they only won one game. That'd be pretty amazing. Leads the NCAA record in scoring. Yeah,
it'd be amazing. It really is all in the style. Now,
well,
I don't
too hard because that could happen. Actually,
I don't know if Purdue has the firepower to score.
Purdue turns into like a whack or Mountain West team. They lose 62-50 every week.
Sounds like the defense looks pretty good though. I mean, that's the thing that sadly it sounds like they're further along than the offense right now.
Oh my god! And the offense just lost. Blau. I mean, not lost, but
he'll be back. The funny thing is he looks like he's far from 100% based on the interviews where he's kind of sitting there, not moving his neck or shoulder.
So where does Purdue have some depth on offense? Quarterback and running back, which is nice. They don't have any depth at receiver, right? Or not any experience at receiver. And you don't need an offensive line in the Big Ten, I don't think. I don't know if that's important or not, but
The starters will be fine. The starters will be fine. It'll be tough in that second group.
But Sindelar is not a bad fallback. I mean,
he's not. His release is slow though. I mean, that's the thing. And he's not as good on his feet. He's not a statue back there. But I just think Blau gives him so many more options on the rollout if pockets collapse.
But for the first time in a while, I have at least some confidence that this coaching staff has creativity. And knows, okay, that, I don't think Hazel would have acknowledged. I mean, how long did it take him to acknowledge that Rob Henry wasn't the answer? Probably longer than it should have, right? Just by way of comparison again, I think that Brom and his brother know what they've got in front of them. And they realize right away that you're not going to win with traditional Big Ten football. And that's why people are excited. That's why I'm pretty confident it will be. At a bare minimum, it'll be more interesting than the last few years have been, right? You'll want to watch games this year. We didn't want to watch last year, particularly into October. Right?
I didn't want to watch the year before.
Right. No, there was that. Well, you knew after 2 years what you had with Hazel. You knew it wasn't going to change. So I don't know. I think there are reasons for optimism. And the other thing that I think on the optimism front that I think is so funny is that Brahm has done, I think. And Ryan could tell us if this is true or not, but you used to start getting drawn back in. We all did by I don't know what time of the summer, but you started getting really hungry for it and getting kind of sucked back in, even if they weren't going to be that good. And that went away. That went away over the last 5 years.
I hate it.
I got to believe it's happening now. I mean, you got to be getting drawn back in.
I'm going to the pep rally on Friday with a pal of mine and going to the game on Saturday with a group. Excited about that, but I'm very sober. I mean,
You are going to go on Saturday. Are going to go. Good. And then you're going. I saw you exchanging with someone. You're going to try to go to the Friday night game, which I think
I'm going to go to that definitely. Regardless, I haven't gotten
first game under the lights. You got to go to that.
Yep, going to that, and there'll probably be two or three more that I'll definitely go to. But the sad thing is, I mean, there was a time where every year,
You planned your fall around it.
Everything, yes. Everything we did.
I remember. And, I was there.
It was really bad timing, too, because as Purdue sunk deeper and deeper into the cistern of crap that they were making for themselves, my kids were getting older, getting deeper into Little League. And so I'm coaching and you move on. You just get sick of being angrier and angrier every Saturday. Yeah, but I don't know I'm drawn in the fact that I'm more than anything, I'm excited for things to be better. But I still have part of me that, like Anish was kind of referencing, there's part of me that says, man, this guy can't do it.
No, I think he can.
I think he will. I think he will. But I don't want to say skeptical. I have a cautious part of me. Oh, it's too big.
Of course. You've been hurt. You've been hurt before. I understand.
They won't hurt you.
There's times like that. I need to hurt you again.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
But they're doing a good. I'll give them credit though. They're doing a good job of. You guys were saying that, Anish. I think you were saying that Brom doesn't give you much material to work with. But I love the. I love the business, like, you know, he's not Hope in the doofy, so happy to be here, goofy bullshit. No. He's not like Hazel in that he's going to put you to sleep like an insurance salesman. Mm-hmm. He just seems like all he wanted. I've loved from the start that he doesn't seem super comfortable with the media. He seems like, all right, I got to do this, but you know, the players is, you know, being with the players is what he wants. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I feel as though that between that and the, what I was going to say is I think the marketing people, they're doing a really good job of putting out little, did you see that video? I think you did about that with the walking up the tunnel to the lit up stadium.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was awesome. And the,
it's so simple, but.
And then the locker room reveal.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Over that trap beat. Like, it was incredible. I still watch it once a day.
Did you say, well, I don't know if you saw what when I tweeted, I said it reminds me of like one of those Extreme Home Makeover reveals when the poor family gets like a beautiful house.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh my God, like running around with cell phones. It was
my favorite. I don't know who it was. And hopefully somebody can tweet me. But everybody was running in and looking at all of the lights and all of the screens, and there are their pictures and their faces and their names over each of the lockers and the 1,000 by 1,000 TV screen. And there's this one dude who is now my favorite player. I don't know who he is, but he wasn't even looking at anything. He was just looking at the camera, like not even looking at the camera, like approaching the camera and doing the John Wall, the bicep curl. Like going back and forth, he's my favorite player now. Like those small things just get like it was picked up by Sports Illustrated. Like that clip was picked up by Sports Illustrated and got a couple thousand likes. You know what I mean? Like, and people are responding. Well, they're still going to win three, you know, only three games anyway. But that doesn't matter. Like Purdue is a thing now, and they're not. You know, it's not instant laughter. You know, they're not the punchline anymore.
Well, there's something neat happening right now as we speak, Anish, on Twitter. Our pal Trevor Malman, who's a very, very good photographer. He's a Purdue alum. I don't know if he's going – I don't think he's taking classes right now. I don't think he graduated, though. But he took an amazing shot of Ross Ade with the lights with a lightning strike in the background far off in the distance. And it's lighting our followers on fire. They're loving it. It's a great shot. And that the funny thing about these lights being in this picture is, you know, lights are something that, you know, we've said it before, high school stadiums have this, but these lights are modern. They have kind of a curve to the stand, the light stand on the opposition side. And the place looks much bigger time. The place looks like it belongs in, you know, modern college football. It's amazing. These changes are long overdue, but I do think
don't you think that don't you think that helps? That's the kind of thing you should be
sure.
Every little bit helps when it comes to the talent you need in the Big Ten.
Right. I agree.
So some of the let me jump to mentions because I definitely want to. There were a few people who asked about the two quarterback idea, and they're saying, you know, why will it be better this time? And I don't think that's really the point.
There's an easy answer to that one, though. We all know it, right?
I mean, the guy who's crafting the plays behind it, it couldn't be
more different. Yeah, and it's like, it's almost like, I mean, the way you can answer that question, it's just let's look at the way he's handling it. Look at the look at his resume. That has to be brought into it, right? Mm-hmm. You have 1 year of success. Hazel had 1 year of success. We cannot discount that as a head coach, right? Before he came to Purdue. And Brohm has had offense on top of offense on top of offense that has been world beater good, right? They've lit the world on fire. These are good offensive minds that are on the Purdue coaching staff. That's something I do have confidence in, actually, and I don't feel bad about saying this will be different than the last time. The last time it felt like, you know, Shoop and Hazel had literally no idea who was better, right? It wasn't like there was any plan being crafted. Every time Brohm answers a question, it seems to me like he's saying something like he it's almost like he has a truth lasso around him and he can't lie. But then he starts saying, he'll say something like, before he released that officially they're going to have two quarterbacks, he said, yes, I could definitely see a situation in which we will have multiple quarterbacks playing in a game. And I was like, man, that was like a weird, you know, robot speak of, you know, I'm going to answer this question honestly, and I don't want to say any more. But as you listen to his talk, I hear, you know, more and more things that I'm going to do things with these quarterbacks that are going to try to trick the defense. I'm going to do things with these quarterbacks to try to get the upper hand. I'm going to use their talent. Get this. Use their specific talents to leverage things in the game, right? Which I don't know if Shoup and Hazel ever did, right?
Well, and even Hope. So this is going back to the quarterback Kamara, right?
Hope tried with, was it Siller? He tried, was it Siller? Yeah, it was Siller.
It was Siller. So here, this year, it's going to be Sparks, right? Jared Sparks. Yep. So, but it's the difference was that it wasn't like they brought in Siller for like, you know, like Wildcat packages or something crazy but you know, whatever. What they did was just one drive Marv was out there, and one drive Rob Henry was out there, and one drive Marv was out there, and there was no creativity. Like, it was just like you were putting in a court. It was just like practice, right? Like you have two first team quarterbacks, and you don't really know which one is your guy, and you're still waiting for him, you know, to pop off the screen. Except this was a game against Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like it's different. That's how it's different. This year it seems more like it doesn't seem like they're going to be alternating between between Sindelar and Blau. It seems like he's going to pick a guy, and maybe that guy will be benched, but you know, like he will pick one guy to run the offense, and Sparks is going to be the guy who is going to come in and be the second quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And that's different because there's some kind of logic.
I think he's actually, but I think this, I think Blau's shoulder really threw him off and everything. Yeah. You know, I do think that's pushed Sindelar up into the ones legitimately, not just, you know, like.
Well, I don't think that was the plan, right?
No, I don't either. No,
I think he, from everything over the summer, he seemed to like Blau a lot.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. And now in the last week, like all of the quotes are really cautious and really
think about how what Blau showed under the previous coaching staff, he still showed a tremendous amount of promise.
Even just the counting stats, right? Like even the totals, right? Just because in the amount of attempts he got, he still racked up the second most passing yards in the Big Ten.
And
the first number of touchdowns, I think, wasn't he tops in touchdowns?
Yeah, tops and picks a lot of interceptions,
because they're throwing from behind all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the attempts, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, you have to throw. You can't run. The big thing is that the running backs are produce strength. The unfortunate part is that the offensive line produce weakness.
I am so excited to see DJ Knox be back.
I mean, what Knox and Knox Jones, Worship, and Fuller, like, all of them are really good. Langford Johnson.
Right, Langford Johnson. Yeah, I mean, that's a good – that's a stable of five guys.
That's five deep, and I don't think any of them will ever run off tackle. You know what I mean? Like, because the tackles aren't good enough. Like, the line is not going to be good enough, so they're all going to be running these weird bubble screens, which we all got sick of under Tiller, but I think
I don't know. I think people got weirdly punchy about the bubble screen, but that worked a lot. And when you don't have – a line, and when you don't have the traditional running game, that's okay. That becomes your running game. You know why bubble screens are good? When you have a threat of throwing the ball downfield. The thing we complained about with guys like Turbush and the whole Gary Nord offense is that there was never a threat that you were going to stretch the field. Mm-hmm. So none of that shit works if you're not stretching the field. Right. So, but I think that will be the case. Now, all they got to do is do it once. You got to burn a DB once or twice, right? And yeah, you're going to catch the ball, but. Yeah. But if you do that, then – and I don't think – you know what? I think going into it, Purdue's in a better position because other coaches know about Brohm's offense, right? They're going to respect the creativity. They're going to respect that there could be some, I don't know, trickery, long plays, whatever the hell it is. And I also have to believe he's got to have something early in the bag for Louisville, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. I think there's a lot of motivators, right? I mean, number one, he really doesn't think that there's any way that this team can go toe-to-toe with Louisville as the roster stands. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I don't think there's anybody he wants to beat more than Louisville, of course, right? So you're not going to What does Anish say? Is it leave any bullets in the holster?
I was so mad.
I lost that clip with my old phone. I'm so mad. I wanted to put that up and just save it as one of our SoundCloud clips and just play it.
Man, it's so good.
Feeling sad in the afternoon. Exactly.
Any bullets in the clip or clips in the doorway?
There
were like five of them, and then you did one to mock them, and you did like six in a row that were brilliant.
It was good.
I had it all cut together, and I lost it.
Clips in the doorway.
It wasn't that much better than that.
No, it was definitely not. I was having a day.
It was just such a funny, like, I've never held a gun in my life.
Kind of. How dare you?
You can make that accusation. That's right. I forgot who you married into. You know
exactly.
How to handle
it. How dare you?
Yes,
exactly. Howitzers.
So one of the questions, I think we sort of talked about this, but I thought this was an interesting one, was a topic for us to discuss. So the colossal difference, and this comes from Nathan Anderson, I should probably mention these people, and how Brahm's staff assesses talent compared to how Hazel or Hope did it. And I think that's a good point, because Brahm didn't waste any time. He didn't do, we're getting to know everybody. It was like, well, I don't know if you guys noticed, but early on, like in the spring, and even early in the summer practice, he was like, he sounded like a man concerned. I didn't realize how thin it was here. He said, and more than one interview, he talked about how he watched film from last year, and it was jarring how non-hard they played, which, holy shit, what an indictment of the previous staff, which is not a shock, but man, I mean, he just said guys just weren't playing hard, like, which is clearly unacceptable now. And I love that. But then he immediately, they went from way behind in recruiting to pretty damn good.
So 2018, there was that 2-week stretch where seemingly Purdue went from zero commitments to 25,
yes.
You know, and I think Brian at Golden Black said that, that he's never, like, he's been covering Purdue for 15 years now. Yeah. And he's never seen anything like that. He's never seen any kind of, commitment window, like what he saw. And that's good. I mean, like, Purdue's that class, with just a whole bunch of 3-stars or, top 50 class, top 40 class.
Maybe that right there, that stat might be the first quantitative thing that Brahm did, really, because everything else is theory, hearsay, all based on, Purdue versus Purdue. But that recruiting success is something that Hazel really never had in the offseason, right? I mean, he had a couple late surge successes in his signings of recruiting classes, but his summers were horrendous, right? And his early falls, they were horrible. And so that is something right there where Brahm is actually doing things. And part of it might come from actually going and talking to kids and their parents, which I don't think Hazel ever did. So, I mean, like, he's busting his ass, and his assistants are out there doing it too. And the, like you guys alluded to, the facilities being closer to reality when those guys were verbaling, that all mattered. What just happened? Is there an organ? Is there something foreboding? Oh no. Is somebody behind me?
I was on 247. Looking up, I was trying to figure out the that was awesome. I was trying to figure out the kid in West Lafayette, the 4-star defensive end. And I was going to come up with a really good point where, all of this momentum builds up to, a local 4-star kid.
A very dramatic.
Saying no to Michigan and committing to Purdue. And then on his page, as I pull it up, this auto-playing foreboding Oregon plays.
That's awesome.
And so maybe that's not really reality. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about the football season, but right now I know we said we were going to try to make this more of a normal handsome hour, but do you guys have a World University basketball fever?
We should keep talking about football, because I could talk about this for hours. You know me.
Well, the hard thing, I don't know about you guys, that I've had some snarky comments directed at me about why haven't I done a better job covering this event. I'll be honest. The reason I haven't done it better job covering, I've only seen one game.
Yeah, I've seen two of them.
And it's based on like 4-minute clips of highlights. I haven't seen anything. It's not because I'm not trying. It's like I don't even know where to get the things, and I look at the cryptic messages that you get from CBS Sports, and sometimes they didn't work. I mean, I could tell you this much. What I saw versus Israel was exciting. The interesting thing is that the on-ball defense was pretty rough in that game. And Israel, I mean, that's a bunch of men there. You know, that's a
I think you're official gonna have to get, yeah, I think you're going to have to get used to that. I don't think the defense is going to be very good this year. But
you know what, though? Where was 116 it? Points a game.
Yeah, I think it was Dowd that posted that or maybe in the group chat that was like, you know, Carson Edwards was bringing the ball like up on a fast break, and he actually had two options to pass to, or he could have gone straight to the bucket, and that is completely new.
You know,
that's something we haven't seen in years, right? So that offensively, this will be a really fun team.
Well, my favorite comment of the game, the Israel game, was by the I don't remember who the color man was. He said. It is an astounding amount of athleticism on this court right now. And I was like, when is the last time you heard that said about a Purdue game? Pretty awesome.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Gold medal game is what, tomorrow?
Tonight, right?
I think they recap it or replay it at 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. I think it's happening in what, probably 3 hours, 4 hours, something like that, 2 p.m. or something in Taiwan.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's a great showing. Even if they were to lose that game, it's a great showing, but that's but it'd be tough. I mean, after all those wins to lose now.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah.
And that's the, you know, that's for a medal too. I mean, that's the thing is that the either way they end up with a, you know,
gold
or silver. And that is very cool. And this was one of the things we were talking about. See, this is what happens. We did start a football podcast, and we end up talking about basketball. But
we still don't. We don't have any games. I as a guy that I've been saying, there's not much tangible. When we're coming on the wake of the Louisville game, we'll have more to talk about. We really will. You know.
Yeah.
After the win, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Yes. Right.
But I mean, the biggest thing is that we have been saying over and over and over again is that we want like tangible things to remember good teams by, right? And a gold medal would be a really cool thing.
Be really cool.
You know what I mean? Like that's a really cool thing to add to like this class. You know, this class.
Well, you're setting up a question that I don't know if you have an answer to. What's the last time Purdue had a gold medal in anything in basketball?
In basketball, so Bodaya was the last, you know, was the last Boilermaker.
Basketball. I'm almost positive he did not play basketball.
I don't know. Do you remember some of those Tyrone Johnson
teams?
Maybe, I mean, maybe he got a couple of minutes off the bench.
Yeah. I seriously don't know the answer to the question. That's why I said you set up a difficult question without an answer. I believe a Purdue team has won a gold. I just don't know when it was.
When was the last time a Purdue team won a gold medal with a coach wearing shorts?
I admire the shorts. I really do. Shout out to Matt Painter not caring at all again. I enjoy this. There was that brief period where he was like trying to get stylish. He was getting thin. You know what I mean? Like he was starting to look good. And now he's back.
And the team suffered. Yeah.
It was so bad. And now he's not. He doesn't care. He couldn't care less. And it's the best. This is it. Yeah. I want slob Matt Painter. I don't want.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy because, you know, I said I know people this way. I'm one of them. I have a fat face, you know. Even when you lose weight, you still have a fat face. And I mean, when he lost weight, he still had extra chins. And we turned on I saw him at Carmel. I thought he looked pretty good at Carmel. I don't think he's eaten that much since then. And my wife says we're watching the game. She goes, whoa, he's not missing any meals in Taiwan, is he?
So mean.
I bet they're treating him pretty well. Yeah. This is Boiler Dad's tough.
I don't blame him. If you can't lose face fat, then what's the point?
I completely agree. I completely agree. As a guy who suffers with the face fat. Yeah, there's no point in it.
So I wanted to hit two other quick things. This one is completely unrelated and is going to take us completely off course. But I'll be brief with it. I just feel compelled to mention the in my adopted hometown of Houston, it is worse. Not many things about this kind of stuff bother me, like truly bother me. But I was there for the last really bad hurricane they had, and this is dwarfing it. I mean,
was that 2008?
2008 Hurricane Ike. We were without power for almost it was 6 days, I think, which I've never been without power more than like 6 hours in my life at that point.
and 6 days was unbelievable. But we didn't experience any flooding. Well, my neighborhood that I lived in was evacuated today because not because it's low lying, because it really isn't. It's not terrible for Houston. It's not that low lying. Never floods because it's got a great levee system, and the levees are about to fail. So they're talking about a year's worth of rain in a week. Like, it's like literally like nothing they've ever seen. And one of the cool stories, I mean, obviously you can donate anywhere that you find, any kind of charity outlet. But I don't know if you guys heard the thing that J.J. Watt set up. He set up a youcaring.com/JJWatt.
They raised $200,000 in like 10 minutes, didn't they?
He wanted to get to $500,000 today. And he passed $500,000 in like 4 hours. So he wanted to get to $1 million. And as of like 7 p.m. tonight, it was at like 850. So it's youcaring.com/JJWatt. And those are the things where I think, people can like do anything. Like there's no reason not to do 10 bucks or something because there are people just lost everything, like literally everything. And I have friends there, as you know, still in those neighborhoods that they're not sure what houses they're going back to. And one of my buddies was like, he was just like, he was posting stuff on social media and the people are saying, oh, I hope you're okay. And it's so sad. And he's like, you know what? He goes, we're inconvenienced. He goes, there are people whose lives are irrevocably changed and damaged. And he said, we'll be all right. We're out of here. We're
got over $1 million, by the way. They're over $1 million.
Are they? Yeah. See, I mean, but it's going to take a shit ton more than that, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're talking about just billions in damages. And I mean, that's hopefully all going to go to the people who need it. But, I just wanted to mention that for 2 minutes because it's really bothering my wife and I because we were right in the middle of where we were. And
That's rough. I mean, so this is it, in terms of just the storm, is it more powerful than Katrina was?
I don't think so.
Interesting thing about it is not the power when it hit the land, because I think they're rated similarly. Mm-hmm. The really bad thing about this one is it's hit the land. It's about to hit the land the third time.
It stalled over Houston, and it rained nonstop for 4 days or something. It's supposed to rain 15 more inches in the next 2 days. It rained like 30 inches in the last like 36 hours. There's nowhere for it to go. It's one of those cities that's so low-lying, right, that everybody thinks about New Orleans. But Houston downtown is like 30 feet above sea level, maybe, which is nothing, right? I mean, I know New Orleans is below sea level, but 30 feet is nothing. And it's surrounded by rivers and bayous that have to get around Houston to get into the Gulf. So once those all go over their banks, that's it. I mean, every interstate, the highways have 14, 15 feet of water on them. It's just, it's surreal. And now every neighborhood's getting it. They're having to release some of the reservoirs because basically they're going to like crack if they don't let the water out of them. Man. So they're releasing it basically into... One of my friends sent me a thing who is not from there, but he knows I'm following him. He said they made some decision where if they don't let the water out, it could destroy downtown. So they're basically sacrificing suburbs because they got to get water out of these reservoirs. So, yeah, I mean, it's really bad. It's not – I don't think the storm itself was worse than Katrina. I think it was a similar category. But and in fact, it wasn't even – it hit harder on Corpus Christi. It was south of Houston.
Yeah,
it was the edge of it that whipped into Houston and just – man, it is just not
– Do you guys know – how bad did it hit Mexico? Do you know? Because I had friends down there. They actually came home 2 days early on a work trip. Did it hit Mexico very hard or not?
I don't think so. Anything about that. Not much. Yeah. Maybe just barely the northern – because I think the way it was spinning, like, I think more of the – right off the water damage came into Houston and Galveston.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so it's just, man, it's just, those things I tend to not, Mother Nature, I'm like, save yourself, get out, don't do stupid things. And I feel like that's kind of like all you can do, right? Because you can't control it. And so I'm one of these people who thinks that being bothered or worried about things is not worth it when you can't control it, which is stupid, like logic.
So we'll put together like one or two links, and we'll include it in the description for worthwhile causes for Jay Money's adopted former hometown.
I loved it there. Yep. I loved it there. Yep. Everybody knows this. I loved it.
He did. It was funny because I don't think he thought he would when he moved there, and he liked the people and liked the culture and like the even. Went to, started going to what, one or two rodeo
type of events a year. No joke.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's what people
which is pretty awesome for a kid from Jersey who worked in Manhattan the year before.
So. Do you have a big old hat?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I have a hat.
You look good in a big hat. I feel like you've got the head for a big hat. I can't pull off the big hat. I can't do it. Yes.
No, you might look a little odd.
I can't. It's just my face is too narrow. I can't really pull off the big
hat. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's
narrowness. Basically a horse is what I'm trying to say.
Cowboy, I think, would be it's kind of like urban cowboy, only it's...
I can pull off the chaps, man. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I have no doubt.
I can pull off your chaps.
As Bonadad is... He knows. Yes,
Oh man! So, what is the pivoting back to less serious things? What is the you said three was your guess? Is that?
Yeah. I'm pretty firm at three. Sadly,
I bet you are.
So we'll go through the on the podcast for today. We'll go through schedule.
Just caught what I said. Sorry.
It really makes me firm. Wait, what?
My chaps.
When I'm firm, three is all I can get. I mean, that's it. That's the highest, largest amount I can find it when I'm really firm.
So Louisville, we're gonna win. We're gonna beat Louisville. So there's one.
Okay. This reminds me of when we used to do this with Travis. He'd go through and he'd be like, Ohio State. I think that's a win. Like what?
All right, so Ohio, the night game, first night game in Rusaid.
Now, I'm feeling much better about that, right? Like a year ago, I remember we were like, oh, mercy, we could lose that game. But
I mean, like, I still could, you know. They still got like the White Walker that is Solich coaching that team still.
Oh, he's no joke. I mean,
it feels like he's on a downward swing.
Yeah, I think it
is. I mean, he's been there for 50 years now.
Yeah. So pretty impressive what he's done there. I mean, for a second life as a coach, pretty awesome, you know. But I feel good about that one. I think there'll be some magic in the air that night. I really do.
Okay, so there's one versus Ohio. Missouri, they're not very good, but we'll lose.
Missouri's not good.
That's on the road. No way. I say no way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wouldn't be very good, but it's on the road.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think
you had two out of three already.
If we're 2-3, we're going to the national championship.
3-0. What are you talking about? 2 out of 3.
Oh, that's right.
No, none of these are gimmies at all. I mean, but I think that let me paint a little picture. Let's say they lose a very close offensive shootout against Louisville, and then they beat Ohio pretty comfortably. You wouldn't feel at all good about going to Missouri?
Not going to Missouri. I'd feel good if they were at home. And I see what you're saying. Missouri's not very good, but man, they're still an SEC team that's better than Purdue. Michigan, get out of here. Michigan,
the one that scared me before. I mean, one's terrifying.
That's at home though. It's at home.
Yeah, it's going to be 136.
Homecoming. It's homecoming.
That's a good choice. Good job, Purdue.
Minnesota. Minnesota is next.
I just want
one's winnable.
I said, so bad. Didn't I say to you, I think I said it to you on the side. I don't think I said this publicly, but I'll say it publicly here. I feel partly badly, but I kind of want to see PJ Fleck fall on his face because I want to see
what we know now. We didn't know all the information, I would say, right? We didn't know how much of a we were okay with it.
Stockholm syndrome. You're like, I don't care. No, not Stockholm syndrome. That's not right. Whatever it is, you're desperate for a new captain.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I would like that Minnesota game. I really would.
I think, you know, that'll be an interesting game, right? Because let's say both coaches, it's not crazy. Purdue could be, they're probably 1-3 at that point.
Probably
let's say they're 2-2. Let's say they're 2-2.
Whew.
Not embarrass themselves, and Fleck has his team off to a 2-3-1 start or something. That two new coaches in the Big Ten, that'll at least be interesting. It won't be Lovie Smith versus Daryl Hazel.
So check out Minnesota
3-2. That's what I'm hearing.
So. Yeah, I know. Check out Minnesota's schedule going up to there. So far, Purdue has Louisville, Ohio, which is a very good MAC team.
Oh, Minnesota has shit, right?
They Missouri don't have- and Michigan. Minnesota has Buffalo, Oregon State, Middle Tennessee, and Maryland.
We just saw what Oregon State just did.
Well, yeah.
That was against, who was that, Rice or something? No, who the hell did they play?
The internets tell me Colorado State.
Oh, I'm thinking of who the hell just played in Australia and beat the snot out of
Rice. Yeah, that was a real team. But Colorado State, which is apparently a team that plays football. Oh, they got Bobo, Mike Bobo. I think, going Minnesota would be fun.
Minnesota could be 4-0 is your point. Very easy.
Yeah, but the Minnesota, like, that game could be a fun game in Ross Vade. Wisconsin, nope. Rutgers, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, if they're going to win 3 or 4 games this year, you have to win that Rutgers game.
Nebraska?
Hell yeah.
Illinois at home.
Illinois at home, hey man, that's Purdue. Purdue owns Illinois. It's not on the road, unfortunately, where they always beat them. But
Northwestern at Evanston, no,
probably not so good a chance. No.
Iowa at Kinnick,
no,
and then Indiana,
man, do I want them?
I want that bad. I want the Minnesota game, and I want the Indiana game. I really do. So right now we've got the penned-in wins, kind of, are Ohio, Nebraska, and Illinois. And maybes are
not,
Indiana.
Not Nebraska. No.
Or, I mean, I'm sorry.
Rutgers. Ohio, yeah, Rutgers, Ohio, Illinois, and maybe Iowa. Maybe Indiana. There's your 3 or 4 wins. That's it, right? Like, that's what has to happen. And if you want 3 or 4.
If we sneak.
Right. So 3 or 4.
But that's not going to happen yet.
3 or 4. I'll take those 3 or 4, and you give me one upset. You give me one surprise.
So four would be a fun season. 5, I would be ecstatic.
Right.
5, and Jeff Brohm gets hired at an SAC school or something like that. Purdue to 5
wins. That's a fun game. What would Brohm have to do to get poached by a big-time school? I think he'd have to win 9 or 10 games.
I think he would have to beat Louisville, and I don't think he would finish the season with Purdue. I think if he beat Louisville, they would fire Petrino and hire Brohm.
Right at the end.
Like, on the spot. Yeah. Purdue would get Petrino, which, it's fine.
Purdue would get Petrino.
Then Louisville would take their favorite son.
I think I'm not kidding. I think they'd have to win 9 or 10 games before a team would poach him away, because I'm just not looking to Purdue.
So let's say they got those 4 wins. Ohio, Minnesota. Ohio, Rutgers, Illinois, and Indiana, right? They got Minnesota. Plus they got Missouri. Yeah, so there's 6.
That's not crazy.
So tack on Louisville, and Jeff Brohm is not at Purdue.
Well, we're never going to be able to test this theory, because that's not going to happen.
7-win team.
No way.
He's gone.
No way. No way. Because he's not getting his 7th win until Indiana. No way.
Yeah, you're right. He's not going to be coaching that game, because he's already going to be preparing NC State's season or whatever.
No, he's out of his mind.
Yeah, I think he's out of his mind.
He's out of.
I think eight gets him fired, or at least not fired. Eight gets him hired away, or at least some big cash through it.
You think eight would get him hired away?
I think eight would get him. He would get money thrown at him from big programs.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep. 8 wins.
He may not take it. It kind of depends. That just depends on him at that point. And the hard thing, I know these, it's hard to. It's hard to say how much of that stuff matters, but he's got family, and does he want to uproot him after just 1 year? And
I think he's waiting for Louisville. I think he's waiting for years for Louisville.
He's waiting for Petrino to get in trouble with the NCAA, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you can hop from
or the law, whatever.
I think you can hop really easily from Purdue to Louisville, because it's not interconference. And
you're stepping down a conference, though, aren't you?
There'll be money on the table, and they'd pay him a lot, and and it's home. So it's tough to
It's his program. It's like Breeze coming back and coaching for
Purdue. And then Breeze can take over for Brum.
Breeze can take over for Brum.
So basically what you're saying is you don't want too many games this year is what you're saying.
I've never said that. No, I think you and I have talked about this so many times. If he wins 8 wins and gets hired away,
I think you found a trapdoor that Purdue would probably find. They win 8. Okay, that's really good for this team, but that's not like bowl or something. And then they lose their coach that's bringing them back. I think what we've said is if he's so good that they're winning double digit games a couple years, then yes, I'll take that trade where they win 10 or 12 games and there's a chance. Then fine.
If they win one season of double digit wins and he goes, I seriously say thanks. No question.
Fare thee well, sir. Yes.
You have done us a great service.
We can't afford you anymore anyway, so be good.
Exactly.
Leave your brother behind.
Got a chance. Yeah.
Exactly. So we think
our consolation prize is your brother.
I think I'm going to stick with 4. I think, and it's funny as you talk about how your perspective changes. For me, saying 4 wins feels like I'm drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
I was trying to get that earlier. I mean, that's how messed up we are as fans.
You feel kooky talking about
like 4 wins. That's a
pipe dream. Man, I would feel so happy with 4 wins. We haven't seen 4 wins in
so dumb.
4 or 5 years.
So dumb, and we're all
but even. Can't we agree that you'd be disappointed if they don't beat Ohio, Rutgers?
Ohio, Rutgers, Illinois.
No.
Rutgers, I guess if you lost to Illinois or to Rutgers.
Yeah.
I guess if you lost to, Indiana is not, because Indiana's been, so it's not the worst thing. It would just, I feel like he has to crush Allen.
I think I want it very badly, yes.
They are overdue.
I don't think you know a specific 3 games are going to make or break my perception. I do think that they need to win 3 games though for me not to be very disappointed. How about that?
Yes, yes, that's for sure. Because if they beat Michigan, Wisconsin, and Louisville,
that'd be all right. Yeah, that'd be okay.
That'd be Purdue right there. Actually, that'd be a Danny Hope season, is what that would be. And then lose to Ohio. That's exactly what would happen.
Danny Hope season.
Danny Hope, though, couldn't compete with anybody that was good at all.
No,
I disagree with that. He beat Ohio State twice, didn't he?
Yeah, and but he Ohio played State Michigan. Does. Michigan tough. You know what I mean? And it's a bad sucked. Michigan team.
And Ohio State sucked. That's the thing. We can say it just because they have the same helmets doesn't mean the same. Doesn't matter.
No. They didn't suck that year. They were like the 7th team in the nation.
Yeah. And Ryan Kerrigan had his game.
They were not that good. Check what they ended that season. Go ahead.
Yeah, because they lost to Purdue, and then all of their
their life fell apart. Exactly.
I think they won 7 games that year.
We are the rock bottom.
That was Luke Fickle, wasn't it?
Right. No, that's the next one. That's like a few years later.
Yeah.
That team won the Rose Bowl. They went 11-2. They went 7-1 in the Big Ten. Unless I'm looking at the wrong team.
No, you're looking at the wrong season. No.
And Ryan Kerrigan.
No, I'm not. They lost to Purdue. They went 11-2 that year. 7-1 in the Big Ten. And they lost to Purdue. That was when Kerrigan.
You're telling me the game that I watched where I rushed the field, that Ohio State team won the Rose Bowl?
They won the Big Ten championship. Yes.
Holy shit. That's ridiculous.
Yes, remember that 09 team for Purdue. Joke about this. They were not as bad.
They had Tiller talent on that team. Seriously,
Newbert. I thought Newbert said it best. He was on our podcast once, and he said that was a bowl team that just didn't go to a bowl. They lost. That was a team that started the year at Oregon, right? Barely lost. Blew that game against Notre Dame, right? That was a season full of that crap. Then they got their legs under them, and they started winning games, and then they lost that 40-37 or something game to Michigan State that ended their bowl chances.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, like they were. I mean, this if that happened last year, when now 5-7 teams go to bowl games, that team would have gone to a bowl game.
Yeah, that's right. That's ridiculous. The funny thing about Hope, by the time he was done, they couldn't beat anybody, and that's the thing. That's what sticks out. When his system was installed and when his players were installed, they were inept. Yep. I mean, they were getting their ass kicked week after week after week.
But they liked them. They liked Coach, though. Liked them.
They did. That's true. They did. A lot of guys still talk about it. You see it on Twitter every now and then. I'll see a weird message. I'm like, why is this still happening?
Did you see? Oh, speaking of a complete non sequiturs about Twitter. Oh shit! What player was it? So somebody tweeted a former player. I don't know if he was a Hazel player or not, but I don't know if you saw this meaningless preseason game last night. Raheem Mostert took a screen, like a bubble screen, 87 yards for a touchdown against Hazel's team, against Minnesota, and that's whoever said. Somebody on Twitter was like, I wonder if Hazel's looking at that thinking, man, I didn't think that guy was that good. But none of these guys.
I forgot Hazel's coaching for the Vikings.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yes. He was on the other sideline.
Really that's really good.
Yeah. And a couple of people were like, I saw a few people be like, wait a minute, Hazel's on this. Yeah. And don't worry, people. It's natural to say that guy has a job. It's very natural to say that.
Yep. He's a coordinator. He's a positions coach. He's fine.
He's a position coach. Fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fine. Anyway, we have our guy. We're going to be Louisville this weekend. I can't wait. We'll talk about it next week.
Write it down. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, second, and third.
But you're excited. See, here's the thing. You're going to watch. You're going to watch.
Oh, my God, I'm going to watch. I've got this hire has gotten at least 2.5 years of energy out of me. That's it. That's what I can get. We cannot win a game.
You're back in.
I'm back. I'm refreshed.
Well, I think like any new coach, he's going to get some rope, right? And if you see anything to be excited about, you're going to be really ready for next year. Anyway, it's exciting.
By the way, now I think that's pretty awesome.
Then Purdue being on a nationally, how about that? Purdue opening in a nationally televised Saturday night of Labor Day weekend. Friday night game next week is national, isn't it?
Probably
FS1
because it's one of the first Friday night.
Big Ten game. Yes. So I mean, that's good, right? Cool, that's good for the program too. To have that. Mm-hmm. I think so. Hopefully they won't dress in all white in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I don't like the all whites. Just do the all blacks. Just do the all
so
blacks.
So many good things happen in all white and all gold. Those are the two best uniforms. Everybody knows that. The best.
Didn't we determine that all white, they've not only never won in, but they just get pasted in.
Well, not in a modern era. Like I said, I think I said this too. When Jim Everett was there, they played pretty well in all whites. So that goes back a year or two.
You're talking about you're talking about three decades. But yes,
Just, it's not very hard. New coach, wear all blacks the entire season, home and away. Screw it.
Just black numbers on black. You know, I don't like we've had this debate. All black is special. You wear it once, maybe twice. You don't wear it every damn week. That's not it's not your uniform. The gold helmet is your uniform.
I like the general pissed off ethos of black on black, though. That's just very
angry. It's just played out at this point, you know, like everybody's done it. And
that's the funny
thing. I love the black and gold. Lights
of IU and all those stupid helmets that IU wears. That's how you know like how
old Mickey Mouse you are.
I mean, we had a good number of gimmicks these last couple of years.
Hell yes we did. That's the thing, because there was nothing else to watch, right?
Nope, there was not. Right. Can confirm. No. There was nothing to watch.
Boys, it's been fun. Let's do this again maybe next week if we're scheduled. Can we
about the victory? And Michael, thank you for your contributions today.
Michael, great contributions. Always good job, as always.
It's good to have him on the show. we got exciting news, by the way. We may have a sponsor coming. it's not my mom this time. It's not my mom.
Sponsored by Mrs. Dowd.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mrs. Dowd.
Mrs. Dowd offering Zagnut bars at $1 for boiled pork.
All right. I think that's a podcast.
Well, let's do it the right way. You've been listening to the Boiled Sports Podcast, The Handsome Hour. No, you're not gonna say anything. You're not gonna say anything.
I just like to hang it out there and see how long it takes.
Goodness. Go ahead.
All the time. I mean, BS all the time.